Welcome. We are gathered here today to witness a joyous divine act. Jesus said in Matthew 19, "He who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, 'Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." Marriage is something that God does. And we are here as witnesses to see Jacob and Charity joined together by God in a holy covenant of marriage. So I'm going to ask, who gives this woman to be married to this man?
I and her mom.
Join me in just asking for the Lord's blessing today. Our Father, we welcome your presence here today. Lord and King Jesus, we ask you to continue your work in the lives of Jacob and Charity as they seek to honor you in their relationship with each other. Holy Spirit, come sanctify this place. Fill us with your presence. Gracious Almighty God, we ask you to bless this couple as they covenant together today in marriage. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Looking at the book of Ephesians chapter 5, God gives us instructions for the relationship between husband and wife. The wife submitting to and respecting her husband, the husband loving his wife with the example of our Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And he concludes this section in Ephesians 5 by saying this, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. God is instructing us in his word that the relationship between a husband and wife is to reflect, to imitate, to display the greater reality of the relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, with his bride, the church. This was, first of all, a relationship of grace. It's undeserved. It's an undeserved relationship. It's unconditional. In this way, your relationship with each other is very unlike that of Christ and his church. Because earlier in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, it says that it describes us as we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Jake and Charity, you've told me that you guys are attracted to each other. And that's a good thing. You're attracted by strength of character, by personality traits, by common goals, by beauty, by even maybe a spark of romance. So that's good. But that's nothing like our relationship with God. There was none of that desirability in us that turned God's attention toward us. And in your relationship, there will be times where you don't feel any attraction to each other. There will be times when you're offended. There will be times when you feel slighted, where you're hurt. And in those times, remember the kind of love that God showed to you, and show that kind of love to each other. Unconditional, undeserved love that you've been given by God. You extend that unconditional, undeserved love to each other. God's love is sacrificial, self-sacrificial. We often think of love as a reciprocal kind of arrangement. You meet a need I have, and I'll help you out with a need you have. We'll work together with each other. It's a little bit of give and take. God's love for us is totally unlike that. And our love to reflect that should not be like that. God's love is absolutely unconditional. God is the giver, we're the recipients. And that's grace. This is the way you must approach your love for each other, your relationship with each other, not coming with the expectation of something in return, of receiving, but rather coming with the desire to freely give for the benefit of the other, for the joy of the other. Love in 1 Corinthians 13 is described this way. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. God's love toward us is self-sacrificial, and it actively pursues the good of the other. God's love is costly. Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, "Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." That's heavy. That's a heavy thing. 1 John 3:16 says this, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us." God showed us what love is by sending Jesus to lay down his life for sinners like us. Love costs God deeply, and you must expect in your relationship to give deeply of yourself in this relationship. You can reflect this by dying to yourself, by making it your aim to be a blessing to each other. You have the opportunity to reflect Jesus' love by putting to death your self-centered desires, your self-centered ambitions, and living for the good of the other to the glory of God. And finally, God's love is a covenant-keeping love. Ephesians 5:31 says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Jesus Christ holds fast to his bride, the church. It says in Hebrews 13, Jesus says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Jacob and Charity, that's your commitment to one another today. When Jesus abandons, when Jesus forsakes us, then you have permission to abandon and forsake each other. And that will never happen. The covenant God makes with us, his people, is permanent. God always keeps his promises. Whether we are faithful or whether we are faithful, he remains faithful to his promise. God hates divorce because it tells lies about himself, about his own character. His covenant-keeping faithfulness to the bride that he purchased with his own blood. You're entering this day into a covenant that is binding until death. And you have the awesome privilege and the weighty responsibility of reflecting the beauty of the redeeming love and faithfulness of Jesus Christ to his bride, the church. So Jacob and Charity, you guys today, right now, are about to make a lifetime commitment. A covenant commitment to each other in the presence of our living God and of these witnesses that are gathered here today. Are you prepared to make this kind of a lifelong commitment to each other?
Yes.
Praise God. Jacob, do you take Charity to be your lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, to love, honor, and cherish in sickness and in health, in plenty and in want, for better or for worse, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only for her as long as you both shall live?
I do.
Charity, do you take Jacob to be your lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, to love, honor, and cherish in sickness and in health, in plenty and in want, for better or for worse, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only for him as long as you both shall live?
I do.
They are going to light the unity candle. The unity candle is a symbol. It symbolizes this mysterious truth. It pictures this truth that God is the one who joins two lives who are separate together into one that cannot be separated. Do you have a symbol of your love for one another? Rings. Rings are expensive investments. The engagement ring promises that there's a wedding to follow. And the wedding ring promised that there is a covenant life commitment to follow. It's a pledge, it's a down payment, promising faithfulness to your vows. So as you wear that all the time on your finger, you remember, this is a promise I made, and this is a promise he and she made to me. This is a reminder of your vows that you've said today. So, Jacob, why don't you repeat after me? I give you this ring.
I give you this ring.
As a symbol of my love.
As a symbol of my love.
And faithfulness to you.
And faithfulness to you.
Charity, repeat after me. Jacob, I give you this ring.
Jacob, I give you this ring.
As a symbol of my love.
As a symbol of my love.
And faithfulness to you.
And faithfulness to you.
By the authority invested in me as a minister of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I now pronounce you husband and wife. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Jacob, you may now kiss your bride. It is my honor and privilege to introduce for the first time Mr. and Mrs. Jacob Keller.